Max, welcome to the Bitcoin Infinity Show.
Thank you very much. Hi, Knut. Happy to be here.
Yes, I'm we're also very happy to have you here, a Bitcoin Max and a Bitcoin Maxi, and also with orange hair, so as you pointed out before. And I love that. Like, you don't get more Maxi than that, I guess.
Could be true, yes.
Yes, and Luke is also with us today. That is very good, because we are going to talk about the 21 energy heaters thingies. So that is one of the things we're going to talk about. And these are Bitcoin miners that are also used for heating people's homes. And I'm going to dox Luke here and say that he received one the other day, and he's figuring it out and heating his home. He's living on the North Pole, actually. So he's or above the polar circle, and he's fighting polar bears like every day, except for an afternoon in August. And so I think he can find a lot of uses for such a device. Yes.
I think so too.
So before we get into the weeds of that and we talk about all this stuff, can you give us and our listeners a TLDR on yourself, who you are, how you found Bitcoin, how this company was started, all the things, please?
Okay, yeah, happy to do that. I'm Max from 21 Energy. I'm the co-founder together with Lukas Waldner, and I'm the CEO of 21 Energy. The whole thing started like that. I'm living in Austria, in the Alps, quite a little bit higher. So I have also a lot to heat, maybe not as much as Luke, but I have to. A few years ago, I was burning 2 liters of diesel fuel every year to heat my home. And that was really expensive. And I got into Bitcoin 2017 with the last or the this the 2017 cycle. And luckily I stayed and also got rid of my shitcoins, and now I have full Bitcoin Maxi. And then I started Bitcoin mining in the living room, and I felt that these Bitcoin heaters get really, really hot, and I thought maybe I can heat with them. So I built a heating device and heated my home with Bitcoin mining, and it was much cheaper. I saved literally 4,000 euros compared to heating oil, and saved 10 tons of CO2 emissions. And in my head it was, okay, that's an absolute no-brainer. Why is nobody doing it? And the answer was pretty easy, because there are no good devices you can just simply buy. You have to build them yourself. And that's how the journey started 2 years ago.
All right. Tell us a bit more about these devices. Like there's two main types, right? If I understand the website, right? Mm-hmm. And
We have the Oven and the Oven Pro. These are Bitcoin miners, which are super silent, and that's why they are Bitcoin heaters. So basically, a Bitcoin miner is really, really loud. It's like 90 decibels. That's like having a motorcycle in the living room, and that's not very comfortable to heat with that. So the biggest challenge is, how do we get Bitcoin miners super quiet? And the fundamentals why it works is because every single watt or kilowatt hour you put into a Bitcoin miner gets converted with 100% efficiency into heat. So there are no losses by doing the calculations. So you have a multi-dimensional energy use. So you put 1 kilowatt hour of electricity into a Bitcoin miner or a Bitcoin heater, you create 1 kilowatt hour of heat. And at the same time, for example, with the Oven Pro, you do at the same time 40 trillion calculations or hashes per second. And that's how you get paid, because you are not only heating or burning an energy source, but you're also providing a service, mining Bitcoin. And that's how you get the cash back on your electricity bill. And depending on your electricity rates, it can be by far the cheapest heating option. Of course, there are a lot of different circumstances. It makes a big difference if you are in Germany and paying 50 cents per kilowatt hour, or if you are in Norway and paying maybe 5 cents per kilowatt hour. So in Germany, maybe the heat pump is cheaper to operate. And in Norway, definitely the Bitcoin heater is much cheaper to operate. And you can pretty easily calculate that with a super simple tool we have on the website, and can see, does it make sense or doesn't it make sense to heat your home with Bitcoin?
Okay, so you say that there's almost no energy loss at all from doing the mining. So theoretically, everyone on Earth should heat their homes with this instead of a normal heater, because only win-win-win situation, right? So how does that work? Like, I guess the thing that sounds like a motorcycle in the ASIC are the fans, right? The cooling of the system. So like, how does that work in this heater? What's inside that octagonal box? Like, are there a lot of fans in there? How do you get the heat from out of the miner and into the room, so to speak?
Air resistance is an exponential function, and the normal Bitcoin miners are produced to have maximum energy density in a Bitcoin mining farm. So it's not optimized at all for noise. It's optimized for energy density in a mining farm. So they have very small heat sinks, and to get rid of so much heat over such a small surface area, you have to push through a lot of air in very high speeds. And that's why you need the super fast spinning fans. And what we do is we take these Bitcoin hashboards and we install much, much larger heat sinks with much more surface area. And we install also completely different fans. They are much larger and can push through a lot more air with way less RPM, rounds per minute. So essentially, our fans spin like nearly 100 times slower, depending, of course, of the heating level, as the normal fans. And that's how we get to 35 decibels. Like, the Ofen Pro is in the heating level 1 to 3, as silent as a fridge, as a good new fridge, and you nearly can't hear it. And that's how we do it. Much larger surface area on the hashboard, much slower spinning fans, more fans and larger fans, and way slower spinning fans. That's how we do it.
So you're big fans of big fans, you'd say.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's super cool. And how do you, like, how easy is this thing to connect to a mining pool or whatever? Like, how much is this product for? Like, it's obviously not for your average normie, but how much for the slightly above average normie is it?
Our goal, and I think we are pretty far, but maybe Luke can say something to that afterwards. We are pretty far getting a Bitcoin miner for the average Joe ready. So if you get a Bitcoin heater from us, you get sent the Bitcoin heater, and then you have only one normal electric cord, plug it in, and you scan a QR code where you can download our 21 Energy smartphone application, and then you get guided step by step through. Our user interface is already pretty good, but we have now 5 developers which are working constantly to improving it even more. And then you get just guided through. So you have to need Wi-Fi at your home, so your Bitcoin heater gets internet, but you only have to plug in one electric cord, follow the steps in the smartphone application, and you are good to go. And we also, if you have never done anything with Bitcoin before, we also guide you through the process where you can set up your Bitcoin mining pool account, how you can send your Bitcoin to an exchange and get euros if you would like euros to pay your electricity bill or whatever. So it's really easy already. I think you can do it within 3 to 5 minutes if you have never done it before. And we're working on it that it's getting even more easy, but it's already really, really good, especially if you have operated a Bitcoin miner before. It's completely different. It's super easy, and you can use any mining pool you want. We develop the hardware, we produce the hardware, but it's your device and the Bitcoins. We have never something to do with them. You just type in your mining pool, which one you ever like, and the Bitcoins get sent there, and we are never in touch with them in any kind.
Yes. Yeah, maybe I'll jump in now just to echo that the setup experience was actually exactly as you said. First of all, I plugged the heater into the wall and it started going immediately. I could tell it was maybe that's, yeah, it just started going. And then I got the app, scanned the QR code, all of this, and got started. The Bluetooth connection was quick. I signed up to Ocean Pool, which is definitely the show's preferred pool here. But that was a fun experience also, getting to use that for the first time directly, and super quick. And after some minutes of running, I could check the address on the Ocean dashboard, and it said I was going to be getting like 15 sats or something like that next time they found a block. So yay me. But no, it was great. It was super smooth. And the box is big, of course. It's like over 20 kilos, something like that. But it's not too big to not be able to move around your house or whatever. It feels very, very sturdy, though, and quiet. I can definitely attest to that. Although when I bumped it up to the highest heating setting, it definitely got a little bit more noticeable and yes, a lot warmer, a lot quicker. So just to say, it's been a good experience, and very nice to just see this get started. I haven't done the math myself about whether it's actually economical, but in the winter months, we'll be wanting a heater anyway. So I think that's kind of the point, is that if you're going to be heating your home anyway, and here in Finland, we also have this district heating, which is starting to get into, actually, there's a lot of projects about Bitcoin mining as the source of the district heating as well. So it's either kind of direct, you can do it yourself, now I can do it myself, or we've even got all these projects to have the entire city's heat come from Bitcoin mining, at least partially. So we're really getting into that in Finland here. But hey, anyway, this is just to say, I thought it was really cool to get started, and definitely an easy process, about 5 minutes from box open to everything being set up. So
love to hear that. I'm super happy about that. Finland is really at the forefront of Bitcoin heating and Bitcoin district heating. And you have even higher efficiency if you have a Bitcoin heater directly in your living room, because there are no transmission losses. But it's really cool to see what's happening up there in Finland. Very happy about that.
Yeah, and I mean, we're excited also that you're going to be coming and joining us at BTC Hell. That's correct, right?
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it. I was never before in Helsinki, and I really look forward to the conference.
Definitely. And one question I have is sort of what's your pitch? What do you hope to have the attendees of the conference to learn about 21 Energy? How would you pitch this to? Because our audience is supposed to be really new to Bitcoin, and we want to show like all the ways that it can be good. So for example, like this home heating thing, I think is very yes, much something that people wouldn't have thought about. So how do you explain what you do at these sorts of conferences?
My pitch, maybe it's a little bit on a, I will try it like that. So we are living through the energy transition, and the energy transition means everything is getting electrified, from cars also to heating. Everything in the future has to be done with renewable energies, which are much more sustainable, much cheaper over the long run. So that means in the future, we have to heat with electricity. And there are not as much heating options with electricity. We have the heat pump, we have direct electricity heating, we have infrared heating, and we have the Bitcoin heaters. And in the future, we want to get rid of the fossil fuels, and everybody over the long run, it will take decades, we will change to electric heaters. And our thesis is that electrical heaters make the most sense of all the other electrical heating options, because it's the only heating method at the moment which is not burning just energy source, but providing some additional value. It's always the most sustainable thing to heat with energy which has to be used anyway. So my thesis is Bitcoin heating will be the main heating option in a few decades. And my next thesis is Bitcoin mining farms will it have really, really hard, because they have much worse economics compared to Bitcoin heaters, because we are using the heat which we would have paid for anyway. So we can pay much higher electricity prices and push the mining farms over the long run out. But this, of course, will take a very long time. 99.9% probably at the moment are in mining farms, and we are just getting started with that. But yes, I think Bitcoin heating will be decentralizing mining even more. And that's the high level pitch. It's the most renewable energy transition heating method. And you have better economics in than mining farms. So I think Bitcoin heaters are here to stay and will grow massively.
Yeah, this is I love this optimistic outlook, and it's something we talked to with Kenobi at the NiceHash conference in Slovenia, and he has the thesis that only in the long run, like right now, the big mining pools can play these fiat games and get the artificially low interest rates and stuff.
Yes,
which is why you get these stupidly large pools that don't really understand the game they're playing, because they're doing stuff that is actually detrimental to themselves, such as shitcoins on Bitcoin and all of that. And like the narrative we're trying to push here as educators or whatever you call us, is that you cannot really call yourself a Bitcoin miner if you don't know what block you're mining on. Like then you're just a mere hash salesman and not an actual miner. So whatever pool you connect to, make sure you know what you're mining on, because otherwise you might be contributing to something that is actually not the saying everything is good for Bitcoin is semi-true. There are things that are less good for Bitcoin and things that are more good for Bitcoin. Knowing what block you're mining on is one of those things. But his thesis was that every single one of these more fiat-minded pools will run out of business sooner or later, simply because the reward goes down. And if your miner isn't also having some other use case, like heating being the most obvious one, like then it will be very hard to monetize it, because mining is such a competitive game. Like already now, it's the difficulty adjustment is really the beauty of that. It's hyper competitive, free market on steroids type thing, right? So what are your thoughts on that?
I 100% agree. I was with Kenobi 2 days ago in Lisbon, and we were talking also about that. And that we were also talking a lot about pools. And it's beautiful to see with Ocean Pool and the new Demand Pool that a lot of good things are happening in decentralizing mining even more, getting better pools. And you always know what you are mining, and you can build your own blocks with Stratum V2 and stuff like that, but that's very technical. But a lot of good things are happening on that front. Yeah, I think Bitcoin mining without a second use case, if you're only mining and burning electricity without any additional use case and paying additional electricity to get rid of the heat, you will have troubles in the future. Of course, there will be always mining farms which will stay profitable because they are the buyer of energy of last resort. Let's say, for example, Eric from Gridless, he's doing Bitcoin mining in Africa and only takes the electricity from hydro dams, which are not needed. And that's how they get profitable, the hydro dams. So there will be always mining farms because there is stranded energy. This will still exist, but only buying electricity from the normal grid, I think that's not future-proof at all. And if you like, you can do so many things. For example, our Bitcoin heaters, you can also connect to variable electric tariffs. For example, in Austria, I have a tariff, and I have every single hour, I have different electricity rates. So for example, today I have 5 hours because it's very sunny and also a little bit windy in Austria. We have so much solar and so much wind energy in the grid. Today, I pay 5 hours, 0 cents for the electricity because it's just too much in the grid, because we have already so much solar built out and that the grid can't handle it. And if you, the Bitcoin miners or Bitcoin heaters, that's the perfect flexible load. And if you connect your Bitcoin heater to such variable electric tariffs, you get a lot of additional arbitrage possibilities. And our vision is the long vision is that, for example, if we have 10,000 machines per country, we can provide flexibility management, grid balancing, and give over energy communities. That's how it's called in Austria. We can give our customer the electricity for free, the customer is mining Bitcoin for 0 cents electricity cost, and 21 Energy is getting paid for the grid balancing services, ramping up and ramping down the Bitcoin heaters of the customers. If they would like to join that possibility, they don't pay anything for the electricity because we are doing it for grid stability. And with these use cases, with this combination of use cases, I think normal mining farms, yeah, of course, they will have a few years left, but over the long run, if all the grids over the world will get stabilized by Bitcoin mining, Bitcoin heating, surplus energy monetization, they will have real troubles. But it's a good thing. If they don't have to even consume more electricity by getting rid of the heat, and we can use it for something you need it anyway, it's an efficiency increase in the system. And over the long run, of course, efficiency will succeed and push out the mining farms, the inefficient mining farms.
No, it's great. And I think this is one of the areas where you can really reach normies, so to speak, because it's kind of the equation around this is kind of undeniable that this is a way to incentivize renewables and a way to like stabilize the grids and all of that. Like all of that is, and this thing you talked about in Lisbon, it's the thing Andre put on, right? Our friend from Free Madeira, yes. We're in the same organization there. And you mentioned our friend Eric in Africa, who our friend Joe just made a documentary about. So Joe Nakamoto, yeah, our dear friend in the Plan B stable, he recently made a very good documentary about that project in Africa. So if you Google Joe Nakamoto Africa, you'll probably find it. It's super interesting. And these are the use cases where, like, no one is against small villages in Africa getting electrified, especially not if they're doing it without carbon emissions. Like, and no one is against, you know, renewables being more profitable and people getting incentivized to in that. Then the thing, and that is how you get the more normies on board. What they don't understand and probably won't understand is that the real environmental benefit of this is getting to a world where we demand quality over quantity. It fixes inflation. It fixes resource misallocation. It fixes political interventionism. It fixes the biggest problems in the world. But that's just almost a side effect to these more direct, like talking to mainstream media things. This is like, I think this is a real good avenue for trying to convert journalists and stuff and get mainstream media to stop spreading FUD and be a bit more happy about Bitcoin in general. Is that your view as well?
100%. I have some interesting insights in that, like, we have two large customer segments. We have Bitcoiners, which love to heat with Bitcoin. And the large second customer segment is people with renewable energies on the roof, photovoltaics, whatever. And we made some campaigns over the last winter to push our product to these renewable energy guys. And they have a lot of challenges at the moment. For example, today, they have to pay penalties. If they put in Austria electricity into the grid, they have to pay for that because the grid is already unstable. So they had to pay to put the electricity into the already saturated grid. So they are searching for, okay, I have calculated, I will pay off the amortization period of my photovoltaic will be 10 years. And now I have to pay to put the electricity into the grid. And the calculation of doesn't make any sense anymore. And then if we explain them, hey, you can just buy, for example, you don't even have to buy a Bitcoin heater, but of course, it's a good option to combine a surplus energy monetization with heating, then you have the ultimate win situation. But you also can just buy an older used Bitcoin, refurbished Bitcoin miner, monetize your surplus energy with a super cheap miner, and then your calculation makes even more sense. So they are getting down from 10 years amortization periods to maybe 4 or 5 years with the Bitcoin miner. So you can build out renewable energies way, way faster. And we get so many cool messages from these renewable energy guys. They just, okay, let's buy a Bitcoin miner for 150 euros or something, just an old used machine. And they start Bitcoin mining because they only want to get rid of their surplus energy. And they get a little bit Bitcoin for that and change it to euros or whatever. But as soon as that happens, okay, they are mining with surplus energy Bitcoin. And then they see the renewable energy gets amortized much faster. It's really hard for them to still believe the mainstream media narrative that Bitcoin is bad for the environment. And we get a lot of really cool messages from these guys, which they get over the energy into Bitcoin. And they go down the rabbit hole really, really fast because they come over the clean energy narrative into Bitcoin. And we are super happy about that. So in the winter, we sell Bitcoin heaters. In the summer, we sell surplus monetization devices. And people get onboarded to Bitcoin over that really, really good. And it's, I think that's a very big win for the Bitcoin community. Just provide them a solution for their problem and they get fully automatically to Bitcoiners without that we have to do anything.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I mean, saying that Bitcoin is bad for the environment is a bit like saying that words are bad for language or something. Like it's super
yes.
obvious that it's great for every aspect of the environment when you actually see what you're doing. Because what all of these critics leave out is what, like, how much energy the current monetary system wastes. Like when we say that proof of work mining wastes energy, we are missing out like the biggest alternative cost is world wars, really. Like Bitcoin is dominant in its field, so to speak, and it's becoming more and more I think it's inevitable at some point that it just becomes the world's reserve currency. And it has a consensus mechanism, which is completely win-win and completely voluntary. Everyone in it has something to gain from following these rules and not fucking each other over. Like how you win the consensus mechanism of fiat currencies and become the dominant global reserve currency like the dollar is by winning world wars. That's how world wars are the consensus mechanism of this fiat system. So we're going from something completely violent to something completely peaceful. And I think that is not going to get inside the skull of your average normie anytime soon, but they might realize that they can use the surplus energy from their solar panels in a very imaginative way. And that is like a very good first or orange starter, if you will, like before you swallow the orange main course.
Yes. Like there is a direct correlation between cheap energy or energy consumption and your GDP of a country. If you don't have energy, your country is not wealthy. So, and with Bitcoin, you have the incentive to build out as fast as possible super cheap, super sustainable renewable energies. And so it's a race. As a, in fiat, you have world wars, and in Bitcoin, you have the race to the fastest, cheapest, most sustainable energy sources. So I think that's a pretty good incentive model.
Buongiorno, or as the Americans would say, buongiorno from beautiful Lugano. We here at the Bitcoin Infinity Show and the Bitcoin Infinity Academy think that you should take Bitcoin security seriously. And you do that by getting yourself a hardware wallet and do some inheritance planning. And how do you do that? Well, you go to bitbox.swiss and check out their hardware wallets, especially the new Nova edition, the Bitbox Nova, which has iPhone support and the latest security certification and everything. So go to bitbox.swiss and check out their website. Use code Infinity for a discount. Also go to the Bitcoin Advisor for some good advice on Bitcoin inheritance planning. They have a great multi-sig solution. And say hi from us. Good luck with storing your Bitcoin. And one day you might be able to buy yourself a beautiful house such as this one. You just have to, you know, stack HODL for a decade or two, and you could move here. I think the first time I saw one of your devices was at the Princess Hotel in Vlaardingen. And Mark used it to heat up his tent there.
Exactly. This is October 2022. Yes, this was still a prototype. But
really?
But then he used a larger machine of ours here, one of the first versions, to heat his tents up the events after. Exactly, yeah. But the event in October 2022 was pretty much the first event we attended as 21 Energy in the funding months of the company. Yeah, a lot has happened since then. Yes.
Yeah. How many competitors do you have on the market? I know of some other devices that are similar to this, but like, what's the Bitcoin mining heating market like? Like,
there are some competitors, but I think this field is very wide open. So I think at the moment, I think we are in the forefront. We have very happy customers. I think some competitors can't say that. We, of course, also ordered like the largest, best-known competitor. We ordered a heating device to see how they do it. It was 1.5 years ago and we didn't receive it yet. So they have really hard problems. And if you look at their customer reviews, it's not only us which don't get the products. So I think there is so much room for more competitors, and of course we welcome competitors. I think if it's the main heating source of the future, if my thesis is correct, we will see very large companies joining that business in a few years. And that's exactly how we understand it. We think as a pretty much first mover in a completely new market, but I think large companies like Siemens, Samsung, they will all join. If my thesis is correct, they will all join the Bitcoin heating game in a few years. So we try to move as fast as possible and try to use our first mover advantage and scale this business as best as possible to get to use our first mover advantage. But I think the main competitors, they will arrive in a few years and it will be the very, very large companies. Of course, if our thesis is correct, but I'm very optimistic about that.
Do you have any collaboration with the Bitax people and Bert de Groot and those heating a greenhouse in Amsterdam with and like growing tulips? Which is hilarious in itself, like tulip mania powered by Bitcoin mining.
Not a direct cooperation, but I love Belt and we are on calls regularly and talking always many hours on Bitcoin conferences. So we are in very close contact and we are, I would call, already friends. And awesome to see all the innovation in the space. And it's like, that's not competition. I think there is so much room for everybody. Yeah, we have all the same goals. So
yeah, this
that's really cool to see.
This is something we talk about all the time, like that this free market competition in Bitcoin is actually free market collaboration. Like we're all incentivized in the same direction. We're all struggling for the same goals, at least if you're a proper Bitcoiner and not a fiat-minded gains type of person. Like we all win if we all help each other. And I think that's beautiful. And these like Bitcoin miners as heating and the 21 Energy stuff and the BitAxis and all of these different projects, that they're all helping to decentralize this part of the network that is arguably the biggest risk vectors to Bitcoin are in the mining space, because that's the thing that is hardest to decentralize, I guess, but in terms of hardware at least. But it is getting better, and it's getting better fast. Ocean's hash rate goes up. People actually find blocks with their BitAxis. I just love these little nerdy things that are actually helping the network.
100%, I agree. Yes, starting with a BitAx is perfect. Maybe you can't heat with that, but if you then want to have a lot of hash rate and heat, maybe up your complete house, 21 Energy is the perfect path to continue. And Yeah, really a lot of good things are happening. Block is developing open source mining chips and open source mining software. We have the demand pool, we have the ocean pool. A lot of good things are happening for Bitcoin mining, and Bitcoin mining will decentralize more and more and more, especially if millions and millions of households are heating their homes with Bitcoin heating directly through a Bitcoin heater or through a district heating or whatever. But that will change a lot in the decentralization of mining.
Yeah. So what's on the roadmap for 21 Energy? Like, what do you have any other products in, like, down the road somewhere, or are these two orphans the big thing, or are you planning on developing other things?
Like I said, we think we are completely at the start. If this market is going to be as big as we think, of course, we are constantly researching and developing new machines. We want to get even smaller, even more quiet, and even more smart home integrated. So your inverter, if he knows we have surplus money, it automatically starts the Bitcoin heater and stuff like that. We are working really, really hard on that part, and that's the main focus of the company. Bitcoin heaters is where we started, and it's the core of the company. But at the same time, we are also working on developing central heating. So especially in Europe, central heating is a very big part. And we will have Bitcoin central heating systems where you can save the heat when, for example, today when there is super cheap electricity in Austria, I will save the hot water in a puffer tank and then shut off the Bitcoin miner when the electricity is expensive, and you have even more arbitrage possibilities. You can also do that with the space heater. For example, today when the electricity is cheap, you heat up your home to 25 degrees, and then when the electricity is expensive, you could cool down the home to 20 degrees or whatever. And we will also have an option for that you just set your comfortable levels. Some people are willing to do that, some not, but it's definitely possible with our machines. So we are also developing these central heating systems, and we are just joining in a large way the B2B world. For example, there are huge landlords in Austria and probably in every single country. They have millions of square meters of apartments they rent out to people. And they had to get rid of their fossil fuel heating methods until 2035 in Austria, for example. So only in Vienna, if they do it in a linear way, they would have to change 35,000 apartments per year from fossil fuels to renewable energy heating. And if our goal is to have a product line for them, so we have not only single devices, but complete fleet management. The end goal would be we sell them the electricity as an electricity provider, mine Bitcoin, subsidize the electricity rate with the Bitcoin mining, and they don't even know that they are the people which are renting these apartments. They don't even know that they are heating with Bitcoin, because the landlord is already providing them with the Bitcoin heating machines, and we are subsidizing the electricity rate by the Bitcoin mining, and that's the way they have super cheap central Bitcoin renewable energy heating devices without the big capital expenditure in the beginning and super low operation costs, because all of these old apartments, they don't have any central heating systems. If they want to install heat pumps, that costs millions for a large house, and their Bitcoin heating has a much lower capex and opex, also operation costs and capital expenditure. And that's a very big focus. And at the same time, we are also doing the Bitcoin mining containers for grid balancing services in Europe. There's, especially in Europe, with that much renewable energy is in the grid, there is so much possibilities for flexibility, load management for the grid. We are also pushing really hard on that in that direction. It's like in Candyland, there are so many possibilities, and it's a danger that we are not allowed to lose focus, but we are growing really, really fast, and we are super happy about that. We have already this year, I think at the moment, 10 or 12 new employees since January. So we are growing really, really fast and are super happy because there are so many possibilities, and we are very excited about the bright orange future.
Great. This transition you're talking about, like, this is a political decision from the EU, really, or from the governments of Europe, and we can debate whether they are overambitious or not. But yes. Europe is moving in this direction where government subsidized renewables or quote unquote renewables, because I don't think they can really be called renewables if they are subsidized, because that means the economic equation doesn't really work. We just pretend it does. But that whole debate set aside, like, wouldn't be wonderfully ironic if Bitcoin mining is sort of what saves that economically, and all of a sudden all of these ginormous wind farms and everything actually makes sense because of Bitcoin. So the question in here is sort of in a very roundabout way here, but do you think that can help, like, European politicians understand that incentivizing Bitcoin use in general is a good thing for Europe and a good thing for renewables and the environment and whatever narrative du jour they conjure up? Like, it's like, how are you optimistic about, like, the EU's stance on Bitcoin, or are you pessimistic when things like MiCA and stuff and capital gains tax laws and stuff are, like, hindering the progress? Very convoluted question, but yes, love to pick your brain on this.
I'm a 100% free markets guy, and every subsidization is destroying price signals and bringing inefficiencies into the market. So I'm 100% for free market. And of course, at the moment, it's not like that in Europe. But if you read the current laws or the current directives, energy directives of the European Union, if you read between the lines, Bitcoin mining is standing everywhere. They don't know it, but they are calling it, like, for all the solutions Bitcoin mining is providing. And also in that regard, a lot of really good things are happening, like the European Bitcoin Energy Association, EBEA, is lobbying really hard in Brussels to not only talk to the politicians about, please don't forbid Bitcoin mining in Europe, but hey, you are writing these renewable energy directives, which will get put into national law in a few years. And Bitcoin mining is standing all over that. So maybe even such technology will get incentivized. I think it's a long shot, but also with EBEA, a lot of good things are happening in that direction. So I'm super bullish about that. I think also if you stop subsidizing wind farms, because they still get paid if they shut down their plant, this will also stop because it's highly inflationary. So I think there are incentives that the biggest wind farms in Europe will probably be built by Bitcoin miners because they have just a better economics. Probably will take a few decades, but in the future, like, we get really large companies at the moment sending us inquiries because they have large problems. They have their 200 megawatt photovoltaic park in Spain, and they are getting penalized for putting the electricity at noon into the grid because the grid is already overwhelmed. So now they are asking, hey, can you provide us Bitcoin mining containers, and we can provide grid stability services and surplus energy mine Bitcoin. They just get better economics, they get better amortization periods. So I'm super bullish about Bitcoin mining in Europe. It will be different than the Bitcoin mining farms in the US, but Europe needs Bitcoin mining so badly with the high volatility in the electricity grids. And at the moment, there is so much happening in that direction. And I'm really, really bullish about it. And with EBEA, I think also we don't have to fear the politicians too much, because if you explain them, they already wrote it down. They don't see that they wrote Bitcoin mining everywhere. If they need somebody to translate that to them. But I think because Bitcoin mining has just a better economics, the companies are choosing Bitcoin mining, and the politicians will have it really, really hard. If there is the most sustainable and the most cheapest district heating in Europe comes from Bitcoin mining, it's really hard to argue for them to forbid Bitcoin mining or anything like that. So I'm very optimistic about it, but not for the central planning, which the EU is doing at the moment a little bit too much for my taste.
No, there's orange magic ink between the lines.
That's nice words to put it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what else do we have to talk about? Luke, do you have any other questions for Max here?
Yeah, I think I'm liking everything I'm hearing from you kind of on the regulatory perspective, and definitely nice to hear that it's not all doom and gloom in terms of everything going on in Europe. Maybe just some sort of persuasion is needed. And I think we're all doing our parts by going to these conferences and having conversations with people who can make decisions and maybe doing some convincing. But there's a large part of Bitcoin generally that maybe is a little not in any of our controls, and that's the world economy and everything going on there. How do you see at the moment, what's your feeling about Bitcoin in general right now over the next, say, year or a couple of years? How do you see it going with turbulent economic and political times at the moment?
I can draw the picture in my head that we are heading for a global recession, and I can draw the picture in my mind that we can turn around and the economy will not get as bad. And in both ways, I see kind of move forward. So I'm way too bullish all the time. So I'm super optimistic about Bitcoin in both. If we have a global recession, I'm bullish because Bitcoin will be the alternative. And if we move into economic prosperity, I'm also super bullish about Bitcoin. Yeah, maybe it takes 1 or 2 years longer, but we as Bitcoiners, if you're already in the space since a few years, let's say at least 2 cycles, yeah, short-term volatility, short-term means 1 or 2 years, doesn't matter that much. And if the adoption is not so fast, I, from a business perspective, would also be very happy about it, because we can take advantage of the first mover advantage even more, because if Bitcoin price explodes tomorrow, yeah, of course, everything will be much more aggressive. And so now we have time, we are pushing really hard, but we have time to build very good quality products and develop even better products and services. So I'm happy either way, and I think Bitcoin will succeed either way. So I'm always way too bullish.
Always good to hear. And maybe I'm a little bit curious, how are you seeing things in your specific area? How is Austria? We've only had Rahim Tagazadegan on from Austria. Is that right, Knut? I think that's true, actually. We've had some other... Nico Jilc also.
Nico Jilc, yes. And I don't know where... Like, there are... It's hard to know whether people are from Austria or just southern Germany. Like,
true.
I think we have had more Austrians on than... But maybe they haven't revealed themselves as Austrian yet, you know.
As Austrians, yes.
Is Max Hillebrand Austrian, for instance? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's...
anyone else knows either. Hardly even Max himself. Like, I don't know. Like, this is the thing. We don't really identify as, you know, citizens of a specific nation necessarily as Bitcoiners.
But that was a long-winded way of saying what's going on there. What's the adoption situation like in your end of the world?
I think the German speaking area is relatively good from adoption rate as private persons. I think We have a very node, a very high node density. If you look where the nodes are located, we have a lot of nodes in Germany, Austria, Switzerland. So I think there are some really good German-speaking content creators which pushed the adoption in for Bitcoin in the German-speaking area really far. So from that perspective, it's really good. In Austria, like Bitcoin was tax-free, but they got rid of that law because one very large shipcoin exchange said they should, the law should, the government should get rid of the tax exempt, because then they are the only really, really large exchange which can provide the tax services. So that was a big central planning bullshit. But otherwise, at the moment, we didn't have any changes the last 3 years in that regard. It's quite okay. I think that the German speaking area is really far from a Bitcoin adoption perspective, and there are a lot of regular meetings. So I think it's pretty good. Yes.
There also a conference in, was it Innsbruck or?
Exactly. Yeah. It was 2022 and 2023. There was the BTC Innsbruck, which is directly here in my hometown. So yeah, but this conference doesn't exist in that way anymore. I don't know. Maybe it will be once again in the future, but I don't know that. Yeah, at the moment, the largest conferences in Europe are Prague and yeah.
Prague is like that part of Europe, that the central, slightly eastern, like I love that, all of those places, like southern Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and Czechia and all of that, Slovenia, around the Alps, seems to be a lot of good thinking going on there. I mean, Austria is, you know, not only the famous birthplace of Joseph Fritzl, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Hitler, but if you go further back in history to the Austro-Hungarian Empire, like then that whole era is like the golden age of thinkers and like big names in science and technology and music and all the arts and everything. Like you just shut out good brains there for a while, including Ludwig von Mises, of course, and the Austrian School of Economics. So in terms of like, I travel around a lot and I see Bitcoin communities all over the globe, right? And I see the subtle differences between the nationalities. They aren't big because Bitcoiners are Bitcoiners everywhere and people are people. And the communities may seem small when you go to meetups and smaller conferences, but they're absolutely everywhere. Every country on earth has a Bitcoin community. For me, what stands out about the German community is that all German men seem to be tinkerers at heart. You really like your having this model railroad in your basement and stuff. And now it's Bitcoin miners and everyone likes to fiddle around with oscillators and inverters and electromagnetism is cool. Like, I like that whole aspect of it. I think that this, in the soul of the people, there's like every German guy is really a Bitcoiner, like, or a lot of them. And the German language itself is very like I think people are, these are wishy-washy theories here, I know, but bear with me. German is a language that is very explanatory. Like it's built up from very basic building blocks and it's very concise and there are lots of rules. And for a language, I think that fosters a culture of rigorous thinking and like engineering minds. And I think this is very good for the Bitcoin community. And I just love the fact that Germany started this whole meetups everywhere with 21 and all of this community. Bitcoin meetups started happening in every, now it's in every major city in Europe, I think, but it all started in Germany. And so it's pretty cool. And southern Germany and Austria in particular, I don't know where I'm going with this. This is just my brain farting away in all the different directions here. But yeah. Maybe you could burn the farts and use for Bitcoin mining. I'll stop the rant now.
Yeah, Aino20 has done a really a lot of good things, a really strong community and a lot of engineers that I think that summarizes it pretty well. And we have a very high Bitcoin density in the German speaking area, which is of course really cool to see.
Yes. Before we wrap this whole thing up, is there anything else you want to tell our listeners? Is there an area where we haven't talked about, something we haven't talked about? And of course, where do you want to send them on the internet? Where can they follow you and so on?
I think a lot of good things has been said. Just be open, just calculate. Does it make sense? Maybe it's a good hitting option for you. Maybe not. Totally fine. And yeah, just think about the possibilities combining Bitcoin mining with surplus energy monetization, grid balancing or heating. And you will have a lot of really cool use cases in Europe. And I think Europe will have a comeback in Bitcoin mining, because at the moment we have very low hash rate compared to other countries. That will change. So I'm also super optimistic about the wealth creation through Bitcoin mining in Europe. And that's a very important thing for the long run. Yeah, if you are interested, you can find 21 Energy online website, everything you like. We have calculators you can check out. Does it make sense or doesn't it make sense? And yeah, that's pretty much it. And I'm super happy to be here.
Yes. If it's cold, it makes sense. That's
yes.
Yeah. All right. Max, thank you very much for coming on. Looking forward to seeing you, I guess, first in Prague, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
For 100%. Yes.
Absolutely. And then, of course, in Helsinki and all the other places we may stumble upon one another. You never know in this space.
For sure.
This has been super interesting. And this has been the Bitcoin Infinity Show. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for having me.